God is good all the time. Yes, he is. He's always good. If you woke up this morning grumpy, it was nothing to do with God. If you had a bad week, it's nothing to do with God. It's always about us, isn't it? But God's always there to come alongside us, to bless us, to help us and encourage us. And bless. He just so wants his goodness to be flowing in our lives. He is amazing. God is amazing. Well, we've been having some great messages. Last week, another awesome message from Gary. So, you know, I thought I was going to do something else. I thought, oh, I don't know. I think maybe we better carry on with the fire. That was a great message last week. If you didn't hear it, I encourage you to go on online. Go onto the Centre Church website and you can get messages there and you can listen to the messages for free. Isn't that good? Yep. So I'm carrying on from that area, and we've been talking about revolution, having a revolution, and it's all about change, really. What we're talking about, just being ready for God's doing something, and we don't always recognize it. So even when Jesus came to the earth, the Son of God, God himself, was in Israel, and many didn't even know. And many didn't even know who he was, even that he was around, probably to the crucifixion. That was such a huge time, and then they all bandied together, to say, crucify him, crucify him. They didn't understand. They didn't know what was happening in the realm of the Spirit, that God had sent himself. Jesus Christ had come to this earth. And so, God is doing something in the earth today, and we don't always feel it. Just because we don't feel it doesn't mean something's happening. There is actually something happening. God is doing powerfully in the world today. And, we're living in some of the most exciting times. These are exciting times for God's people and actually for the world. They just don't know it yet, what's going to hit them. But God's going to hit them. He really is. So there's a real divine acceleration in the Spirit. And as I was saying, sometimes we just don't, just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not happening. And I believe, we're really being prepared for a fresh new plan of a day of God's plan. And we've talked about that for some time too, a new day, new things that God is doing. It's the time of the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Absolutely. So you better be ready for this. We've got to be prepared. God's been prepared. We have no excuse. People in this church, you've got no excuse. You've been hearing this for a number of years, really, and keep coming back to it because God is doing a new thing. He has been for a while, and just because it's not fully manifest in the natural doesn't mean it's not happening. But I encourage you, it is happening, and God wants us to be prepared to move with them. We've got to be really ready. I want to read Isaiah 48, 6 and 7 again. This is one we've done a lot, but I wanted to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, "You have heard my predictions," this is God speaking, "and seen them fulfilled, but you refuse to admit it. Now I will tell you new things I have not mentioned before, secrets you have not heard. They are brand new, not things from the past, so you cannot say, 'We knew that all the time.'" All right? That is the truth. We cannot sit here and say, this is happening. I knew that all the time. No, this is something new. It's so new. He says, you won't be able to say, I knew that all the time, because you will say, what the heck? What the heck is this? What the heck is happening? What is God doing? So I'm warning you. I'm warning you what's going to happen. And if you could say, oh yeah, I'm familiar with this. No, it's not it. We're not there. It's when you say, what is this? What is God doing? You know we're there. That is God doing something new in the earth today. So God, he wants his glory covering the earth. His glory. We know the glory has been promised to hit this church by the prophet of God. He came here and he said that the glory will rise upon the house and it will be seen. All right? So that's great. I believe it. I receive it. I receive what God has said. God is going to show up and he's going to show off in the earth. And he wants his children, his sons and his daughters, to show off on the earth, to be seen as the sons and daughters of God. Not just the son and daughter of McFarlane or whoever, whatever your surname is. No, sons and daughters of the Most High God, behaving like God, behaving like Jesus Christ, doing the works of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we're going to be so consumed with God. Absolutely. We're going to be so consumed in the fire of God's love. Absolutely. Won't that be amazing? And we're going to be true representatives of Jesus Christ. You know, we are sort of representatives right now, but can we honestly say, I am a true representative of Jesus Christ? What things are you saying this week? Could you say that you were a true representative of the Lord Jesus Christ this week? No, I'm sure none of us could. But you know, we're coming to a time where we're going to be shown and revealed as the true representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to walk like him, talk like him, act like him. Do the works of him and greater works, it says. So, we're going to love in such a mighty, powerful way. You know, Jesus loved the Father with such a passion. He was passionate. And such an obedience. He obeyed the Father completely. Nothing could separate him from the Father's love. He was love. And nothing would separate him from the Father's love. He said, I'll only speak what I hear the Father say. Wouldn't it be good if we were like that? No, I only speak what I hear the Father say. And it may not be necessarily a word you're hearing like that, but even, you're lined up with the Word of God. You know, what he says about walking in love, what he says about forgiving and taking no offense, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling. Hey, all of these things. Powerful, but he said, I'll only speak what the Father wants me to speak, and I'm only going to do what he sees the Father do. So it's really amazing what's happening. So the Holy Spirit, he is coming to set us on fire. Now, not to say you haven't already been set on fire, but I tell you what, there's more. There's always more. This fire is going to burn up the things in our lives that maybe we've struggled with for years. Things that have been just difficult for us. No longer will have a desire to chase the things of the world. And we were living in the world, and you know, God wants us to have things. I'm not saying that. But it's not like our whole mind is set on chasing the world. Instead, we'll be chasing the things of God. We'll be about our Father's business, the way Jesus was about his Father's business. That doesn't mean you just have to sit around on your knees all day. It doesn't mean that, but it means you're about your Father's business where you go to business, where you do business. You'll do your Father's business. You'll be his businesswoman, businessman, all right? So you know, this fire is just going to burn up any darkness that we have in our souls. If you think about fire, what is fire? Whenever you see a fire, what do? You move towards it, don't you? I mean, you don't really move away. Well, I mean, you might have it's a huge bushfire and your house is in the way. But I'm saying a fire attracts people. You're drawn to fire. People love to congregate around a burning fire. You know, when you go to someone's got a lovely burning fire in a lounge and you come in, it's cold. Where do you go? You go stand by the fire, don't you? It draws you, absolutely. And, you know, And you never have to advertise a fire. You don't say, oh, look at my fire. I've got a fire. Can you see my fire burning? No. People just sort of meeting, oh, there's a fire, you know. And when there's perhaps a house on fire, what do people do? They run to see the fire. Because people are drawn to fire. Well, I tell you what, you're going to be on fire, such fire that people are going to be drawn to you. We're going to be on fire with the Holy Spirit like we've never known before. Yeah, hallelujah, all right. It says in Luke 12:49, I came, this is Jesus speaking, I came to send fire on the earth. Oh, how I wish it were already kindled. He was looking forward to this time. And they got a touch of fire when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, but there is more to come. There's a greater fire to come. You know, people are baptized in the Holy Ghost, but how many are baptized with fire? And I tell you what, that is coming. And there are individuals who have been baptized with fire. You know, it's like you can sort of jump, you know how there's a thing for the future, but if you could grab it for now. And I know some people, I know people who've done that, like even if you know Heidi Baker, she got so hit by God, she couldn't do anything for a week. She just so on fire, went back and changed Mozambique. So, you know, there's a fire coming. Can you hear the sirens? The sirens are going. Okay. So Jesus, he came to bring a fire on the earth. And he's not talking about a fire of vengeance or judgment at all. It's his pure love coming as fire that will burn up anything in us that is not of him. And people are certainly going to be drawn to that fire. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. It's the fire of God's love. It's the greatest weapon you can ever have, the fire of God's love. It's our greatest gift also, which will empower us in these days to rule over darkness and to draw the lost and the hurting into the kingdom. Going to see it. It's just going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. I love the term burning ones. It was used to, in the past, it was used to describe those who are on fire for God in revivals, the burning ones. Doesn't that sound cool? People burn with such a fire and such a passion for God. Imagine having a reputation like that. Oh, they're the burning ones. Yeah. We're on fire. Yeah. Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the burning one. He started it. Jesus said in John 5, verse 35, he said, he, John, was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light, or his fire, like we Gary talked about light being fire. So John the Baptist, you know, he was living in the wilderness for years and until it was his time to be revealed in Israel. And between Malachi and Matthew, the end of the Old Testament and the New, there's 400 years of silence. Nothing. Isn't that amazing? Silence. No prophetic voice heard in Israel for all those years. And then suddenly, John appears on the scene in the wilderness with a prophetic message. Repent! Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message. And it says in Matthew 3, 1 and 2, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know, we need to understand the spiritual climate at that time. It had been under corrupt leadership for years, and now Rome had taken it over. That was an antichrist government. It was still a religious system, but it was so far removed from what God wanted for that religious system there. And so John comes on the scene, and this is so funny. You think about it. If you really think about things, here's John. Now, he has been out in the wilderness for a long time, pretty wild man, long hair, wore camel skin. You know, that's pretty weird. In those days, people wearing sort of long robes. He walked around in this camel skin. Weird guy. It was weird. Some prophets of God are weird. That's all right. God wants them to be weird sometimes. Nothing wrong with that. So here he was, John the Baptist, out in the wilderness, and he starts preaching this message. He didn't preach it in Jerusalem. He didn't preach it in the streets. He didn't go to the temple. Here he is in the middle of nowhere, barren place, preaching this message of repentance. Who's going to come to that? Well, let me tell you when I find it. Here it is, verse 5. And then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because they want to see this man who was on fire, this burning one. What is it about this man out there in the wilderness? Who wants to go out there? The hungry ones, the desperate ones, not the religious ones, not the religious ones, the hungry ones. Going to see who is this man preaching repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? Boy, I'd love to see a video of that. Wild man, we talk about the wild man of Borneo. I don't know who he was, but I used to hear that it's called the wild man of Borneo. But this was the wild man of the wilderness of Judea. John the Baptist preaching, and crowds went to him. Why? Because he was on fire. He was burning with the fire of God. And that's what we're going to be like. Amen? Yes. On fire, we're going to punch the devil in the face. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so one man burning for God turned a nation, prepared a nation for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3:11, he told the people, "He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." It's interesting that the Old Testament ended with talking about fire. It says the Sun of Righteousness, Sun, S-U-N, fire of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And then Matthew opens up with John the Baptist talking about fire, the fire of God, the burning one. He was a man on fire. He was preaching about the coming man of fire as well. And so fire is so important in God's eyes. Because the fire of God will change things dramatically. There'll be no escaping it. Unless you want to get burnt up, I suppose. But okay. Now, when Jesus came to John to be baptized, John refused to baptize him. He says, you know, because that was for the sinner. And here comes the Son of God. He didn't have any sin in him. But Jesus said, permit it to be so for now. And when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. Not fire, because Jesus didn't need any purification. He didn't need the fire of God's love on him because he was love and he was pure. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and it was seen as fire sitting upon them. But there is the coming of fire that will not just sit on us, it will consume us. It says in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. Yeah, whoa. He's going to come to utterly consume us. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine what they'll be like? You know, when you first fall in love with somebody, if you've ever been in that place, when I met Don, I fell in love. And you become consumed. Yeah. And you've been consumed in that love, don't you? Well, please, you know, you're sitting next to your wife, your husband, they'd be a bit enthusiastic. Yeah. Yeah, you fell in love. You know, you couldn't wait to get the phone call. We didn't have cell phones in my day, and you had a phone stuck to the wall. It was very difficult. You couldn't sort of sneak into your bedroom and talk in the hall where everyone's walking by. But you're hanging out for this phone call, and we didn't ring every day because it sort of wasn't done so much then. And anyway, and you'll wait for the day, and I'm waiting for the time. And he always had to ring me. I don't know why that is, but old-fashioned, I suppose. And I'm waiting, looking at the time, you know. Then you run to the phone and say, yeah, yeah. You know, you're full of love. You're passionate about this person. You can't wait to hear from them. Wouldn't that be awful? We can't wait to hear from God. Oh, my gosh, I can't wait to get up. I'm talking to God, you know. Go to bed. You know, you're talking to God. We're so on fire for God. We love him. We can't wait for him to call us up. You know, we'll do anything. Do you want to go out tonight? Yes, yes, Don, I want to go out. Do you want to do this? Yeah, well, let's do that. Why? Because you love him. You love somebody. We love God. And his fire is going to come. And, you know, we're just going to be so filled with his passionate love. Love for him, love for people. You're going to find those that you struggle to love, it will no longer be a struggle because you'll just find it easy. It will be easy for you. So there we are. Now I've got to keep losing my place. Okay, it says in 2 Timothy 2:20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honour, some for dishonour. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honour. Sanctified means set apart and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. A vessel of honour is a vessel of gold or silver. How are these metals purified? Through fire. Gold is heated and all the impurities and dross rises to the top. And then it's scooped off. And then the process is started again. And then when impurities rise, they scoop it off. Then they'll fire it up again and scoop it off until it is so pure you can see your reflection in it. Isn't that amazing? God wants to get rid of the dross. Fire you up, take off the dross. Fire up. Maybe you feel like you're going to the fire right now. Yeah, some of you. I feel like it sometimes. You know, I mean, it's all right because I do feel like that too. Feel like you're going through the fire. Things just raise up, dross is taken off. Until we reflect Jesus Christ. Isn't that awful? Awesome. Not awful. Awesome. Awesome. That people look at you and think, I know who you are. You're a Christian, aren't you? Yes. Yeah. How did they see it? They saw Christ in you. A reflection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? So God is looking for hearts of gold. So true. You know how we say somebody's got a heart of gold? God's looking for hearts of gold, pure gold. Absolutely. Hearts burning with love for him and for people. It says in Revelation 3:18 in the New Living Translation, I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. You'll be rich with the things of God in your life. Absolutely. It says in Malachi 3:2, he is like a refiner's fire, talking about Jesus, and like a launderer's soap. You know, like in the days of old, you'd have the soap and you'd rub, rub and rub and rub, and then everything comes up nice and clean. It's so easy today, just chucking some powder in the machine, throw it in. But there's still, there's a launderer's soap, make things thoroughly clean. He will sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. See, in these days that we're living in, God is coming as a refiner's fire. And the words Levi prophetically refers to royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a royal priesthood, and he's going to refine us as gold and silver. Gold, when it is free from any other metals in its purest form, it is soft, it is pliable. Pure heart, when mixed with other metals, it becomes hardened. A heart that has experienced the fire of God becomes refined, pliable, soft in God's hands. It's easily corrected. It's sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's what the fire is going to do for us. You know, the Holy Spirit, he's dealing deeply with us, calling us to draw near to himself. Yes. With a holiness and a discernment like we've never experienced before. You know, we've been made ready to encounter him in the fiery cloud of his presence. Isn't that awesome? He's preparing you to encounter him. You know, I want the fire of God on my life, not just for a month, not for 2 months or a season. I want the fire of my life for a lifetime. Don't you? Yeah. I just don't want to, I don't want another revival. I want another permanent encounter with God. And this is where we're going to be. It's not going to be a revival. Prophets are talking about a whole new awakening. An awakening awakens not just the church, awakens the world to God. And that's what's happening. There's an awakening coming. There's a fire coming. And we're going to become so pliable in God's hands God was going to be able to absolutely trust us to do the greater works of Jesus Christ. So, are we filled today with the Spirit? Now, every day we should be filled. Be being filled, the Bible says. Be being filled. How? Worshipping God. You know, it talks about singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in heart to the Lord. That's how you can be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And with the fire. You know, the devil just wants to dampen down the fire. Have you noticed that? Oh, my goodness, he's good at that. I think he's got a great big hose. He's got a fireman's hose. That's what I'm sure he's got. Fireman's hose. Oh, somebody's on fire there. Pshhh, take that. And the fire goes, you know, burns down. Stoke it up. What do you do when a fire goes out? Almost out. Blow on it. Put little stick twigs on it. Bigger bits of wood, don't you? You've got to keep stoking the fire, because the devil will try and cause that fire to go out in our lives. And it's up to us. We can let it go out, or we can stay burning for Jesus Christ. So I want to stay burning for him. You know, Jesus talked about old and new wineskins, didn't he? He's preparing new wineskins for this day. With every new move of the Holy Spirit, you know, we need fresh wineskins. Otherwise, you know, it talks about the wine and will burst the old skins. So we need to discern what God is doing so we can prepare wineskins that will hold the fire. That's a different wineskin, isn't it? Going to hold the fire of God. You know, God reveals his plans for succeeding generations through his word. And when he brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt, it says that they were called to follow the fire. Remember that? A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They were to be able to experience the fire on them. It would have destroyed them. It would have burnt them up. But we're in a different dispensation. When we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, he did a work in our spirits. We're made alive to God, and it enables us to carry the fire. We can carry the fire of the Holy Spirit in us without it destroying us. But, you know, guess why God wants us to clean everything out? You know, I'm talking about our soul. Your spirit has been made alive to God. But it's up to us what we do with our souls. We can allow rubbish in, or we can allow God in. It's up to us. God is a jealous God, the Bible says. He's a jealous God. He's jealous over his children. Aren't you jealous over your own children? You don't want the enemy having your kids, do you? No way. Neither does God. He's a jealous God. He watches over us. He doesn't want us to share ourselves with darkness in any form. When we yield to unforgiveness, we yield to darkness. When we yield to things that are not of God, we yield to darkness. When we yield to offense, we yield to darkness. Our God is jealous, a jealous God for redemptive purposes. He's going after us because he wants all of us. He doesn't just want part of you. I mean, really, can you say, yeah, God's got all of me? How many of you could? Oh, no, it's a bit unfair, isn't it, really? I say, put your hands up. No, I won't do that to you. He wants all of us. And if we think about it, how much of us does he really have? He wants all of us. All of us. And you're not giving anything up. You'll be stepping into something amazing. Know such a freedom you've never known before. Know such love you've never known before. Experiencing just joy you've never known before. God doesn't want all of us so to make our lives boring or dull. It's to make them exciting and powerful. That's the absolute truth, okay? All right then. You know, he wants us to look as much like Jesus as his son. He wants us to look like his son. And he gives us the grace. We have the grace of God, the grace of God, so we can live a life free from sin. Not so we can freely sin, as some might say. Grace is not there so we can freely sin. Not at all. It's there so we can live free from sin. Okay, so throughout the Old Testament, God reveals the purpose of fire. When the tabernacle was constructed and its first sacrifice was laid on the altar, what happened? Fire from heaven fell. It says in Leviticus 9:24, the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Never seen that before. Here's the sacrifice. Next minute, phew, fire falls. Whoa! You know, God turned up. Yeah. Look forward to some people on their faces in this place. I don't mind being on my face. I don't mind if God hits me in such a way I'm on my face. Be good. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. When Aaron was consecrated as the first high priest, the sacrifice laid on the altar was reduced to ashes, not by human hands, but by supernatural fire. When Solomon's temple was built generations later, replacing the tabernacle, again the fire fell from heaven. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:1 that Solomon had finished, when he had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory filled the temple. Fire fell, glory came. You know, the fires falling are always a sign of God's approval of the sacrifice. Always, he approved. If he didn't approve, there'd be no fire. When Gideon, remember Gideon, he met an angel, he spread an offering on a rock, and he was awestruck when supernatural fire fell on that sacrifice to consume it. God again was signifying that this is an acceptable sacrifice. David built an altar on the threshing floor of Ornan, and it says he called on the Lord and he answered from heaven by fire on the altar a burnt offering. Again, fire showed it was an acceptable offering. And Elijah in his contest with the prophets of Baal, remember that? He said, the God that answers by fire, he is God. And the Baals, you know, the prophets of Baal had their sacrifice there, and God, Elijah had his sacrifice. One man against 800. But I'll tell you what, Satan is he is just nothing compared to Jesus Christ. He could never beat Jesus. He's already been beaten by Jesus Christ. We don't have anything to fear from the enemy. We should have nothing to fear. If Jesus Christ is our Lord, there's nothing to fear from the demonic realm at all. And so when Elijah, you know, the prophets of Baal cut themselves, did all sorts of things for all day, crying out for fire. No fire came. Elijah stands up, and he just calls out, the God that answers by fire, he is God. And everything was consumed, everything. Even he poured water over it, and water in troughs around it, everything just burnt up. Tell you what, our God is a consuming fire. He's coming to consume his church. He's coming to make a holy church without spot or wrinkle. Glory to God, isn't that exciting? Thank you, Lord. Well, all those sacrifices in the Old Testament were a foreshadow of Jesus' sacrifice and of what is to come. It talked about he was an offering. Listen to this, Gary, in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Yeah. Ah, well, you don't know what's going on, do you? You know, God's really working, moving in Gary's life in amazing ways. So for 30 years, Jesus was being prepared for the altar of the cross. Sin demanded a sacrifice. We know that. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the acceptable sacrifice for sin for the whole world. And the Holy Spirit and the fire came at Pentecost, revealing that Jesus' sacrifice was an acceptable, pleasing sacrifice to Almighty God. So all the animal sacrifices through all the centuries found their fulfillment and their end at the cross. Jesus, the righteous one, the sacrifice for sins, the proof of his acceptability was the fire that fell on Pentecost. And all who receive him are made acceptable in his sight. Isn't that great? So God still answers by fire. I'm winding up. No longer does it fall on animal sacrifices, but on the altar of the human heart. When we worship him, we set our minds on him and our hearts on him, God answers by fire. You know, Satan always tries to draw worship away from God to himself. When people watch things they shouldn't watch and glorify the things of darkness, effectively what they are doing, they're burning incense to darkness. You know, in Leviticus 6:13 it says, the fire, when God's fire fell, he said, the fire shall be burning forever upon the altar. It shall never go out. You know, Israel's altar fire was significant. It was sacred. It was to be tended with care. It was never to be extinguished or permitted to die, ever. It was to be an ever-burning holy fire. Well, God wants this fire to blaze in our hearts with unquenchable flames. He doesn't want the flames of his fire going out in his body, in his church. Never to be extinguished. We are to be living sacrifices. Constantly aflame with the Holy Spirit fire of God's love. It says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A life on fire offers hope to a dying world. He was to offer beauty for ashes to this earth. He wants us to offer the beauty of Jesus to people. He wants to use us to restore people back to a place of beauty. You know, Satan, as I said, he'll always try and put the fire out in our lives. And especially when you first get born again, the fire is burning. Watch it, Emma. The enemy will be after your fire. Don't let him have it. Say, devil, you're not having my fire. Okay? Don't let him have your fire. And you older ones in the Lord, don't let the devil steal your fire. Hold on to the fire of God. Stir it up, fan it up. If it's gone out, rekindle it. Get it burning again. Get on fire for the Lord again. Like you have been in the past, be on fire for God. We need to be on fire for him. If you think of fire, it's unpredictable, it's uncontrollable, and it's irresistible. And it can be both uncomfortable and comfortable. Depends if you're in the fire or watching it or feeling it. But I tell you, this fire cannot be contained in a box. It is unquenchable. Fuel has to be added to the fire. You have to add fuel to the fire, or else it will go out. And it'll be just a smouldering on the altar of your heart. Where's your heart? Yeah, heart. This is sort of my spirit, man. Okay? The fire burning on the altar of your heart. Fan it. Get into worship. Get into prayer. Cry out to God. Say, God, I want to be back in that place with you. I want to be on fire for you again. I remember those days. Do you? I remember the days being so on fire. I remember a fire days in this house. I remember the fire. I remember the fire. I haven't forgotten the fire. I'm not going to let go of the fire. The fire will not be put out. Jesus said, what did he say about that? Sun will not be quenched. Something, that thing will not be quenched. It will not be quenched in this house, in our region, in our nation, and in your lives. Say, I will not be quenched. I'm going to fan the flames of the fire that's on the altar of my heart. Yes. Amen. We're not going to let it burn out. Our God is a consuming fire. All consuming. He wants to consume you so you look like Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I tell you what, remember as I said before, when the fire fell in Solomon, the glory filled the house. When we're on fire for God, when we're burning with a passionate love for Him and people, His glory will fill the temple. It will fill you. It will fill the house. It will cover our nation. It's the absolute truth. And then I have to finish with Isaiah 61, 2 and 3. It says, arise, God's calling us to arise, to shine, for our light has come. The fire has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. God's fire. I tell you what. It's time for the fire. God's all-consuming fire. Amen? Let's just stand up for a minute. Hallelujah. I know we had prayer last week for fire, so I'm not going to repeat that. But, you know, let's just lift up our hands. What I want you to do, let's do an act of faith thing, eh? So we're going to say, right, I don't know what we're going to say. We're going to ask God to fill us with a fresh passion, fresh fire, and then I want you to do something. This is an act of faith. And then you go, Father, I receive it now. I want you to put your hand up. I receive the fire now, okay? So when we do that, get ready to throw your hands up as an act of faith. Okay, Father, I want your fire. I want the fire. On the altar of my heart. I'm sick of being drowned. I'm sick of the fire. No. I'm sick of the fire going out. Okay. I want the fire in my heart like nothing else. And so, Father, I stand before you today, and I'm asking you, I'm putting a demand on you for the fire of God. And right now, as an act of faith, I throw up my arms and I say, I receive the fire. I receive the fire. I receive the fire. Fill me with your fire, Lord. Fill us with your fire. Fill us up, fill us up, fill us up with your fire, Lord. Thank you, Father, the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God, fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God all over you. Fire of God. Fire of God over you. The fire of God burning you. Thank you, Father. Fire of God, the fire of God. Fire of God, the fire of God. Hallelujah. Fire of God. Fire of God. The fire of God, the fire of God, hallelujah, hallelujah, fire of God, thank you, the fire of God, the fire of God, you're going to have again, hallelujah, 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 thank you, Father, thank you, Lord, oh, the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God, Dr. Julia, hallelujah, fire of God, the